On to Acts chapter 3, the last part of it. Questions at vfpbc.org or 856-361-9018. Give us a call or email. Glad to hear from you. In Acts chapter 3, let's begin reading at verse 20, 21, 22. We did take a few of those verses, but let's get a background. If we can, let's start with verse number 20, Acts 3:20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things which God hath spoken of, and not the only spoke prophets that the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Right, in verse 20, who's speaking here, by the way?
Peter.
Apostle Peter is preaching and speaking, and repent ye therefore, in verse 19, and he talks about he shall send Jesus Christ. What sending does this mean? What send is he referred to here? Was the Lord here at this time, the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
No, he's gone back to heaven. So, when is the Father?
The return.
Speaking of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all people believe in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, they don't. Even some Christians, they say, well, just figure it or something. There are two phases of that return. What are the two phases?
Blessed
hope, the glorious appearing. That's in Titus chapter 2, isn't it? What's that, Bill?
Same thing.
Blessed hope, the rapture, taking away all the saved, morning at Christmas, to heaven where you meet the Lord in the air. Then the second phase, after the 7 years tribulation, and down from heaven to earth, where will his feet touch? Mount Olives. What will happen in the Mount of Olives? It's split. North and south, east and west.
North
and south. So there's a parallel, east and west. Take the people in, the waters rushing in to the sea. Alright, so that second phase, he shall send his Savior, Jesus, before which was preached before unto you. Then it says, verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the time is restitution. What would the times that vision be, you think? The millennial reign of Christ, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So they could see the glory of Christ. They could not see the suffering, the parenthesis, you might say, this age of grace. The old Catholic prophets saw the suffering, the glory that's to follow, but they didn't see the parenthesis, which is this age of grace, living in us. But there will come a time of restitution. And then in verse 22, Moses talked about what?
Oh.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Can I read this verse?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I understood you correctly. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. So if we're looking at it like a map, it's going to cleave this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to divide.
North and south. Yeah.
So it'll flow to the...
Because
when I was hearing it, I was picturing it the other way, and I knew that wasn't right.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it
yes.
right.
The cleaving will be the area.
Right.
But the north and south movement, so the waters will cover the desert, so blossom as the road, as you say, and a dark, barren places will be made clear. Okay, that's good. So then in verse 22, what did Moses talk about here? And by the way, who wrote Deuteronomy 18? Moses, he was the writer. The Lord, of course, was the author of it. But do all people believe that Moses wrote the first five books of Moses?
No.
No, I'm denying it, doesn't the Pentateuch. But at first, a lot of people denied that Moses could even write. Some say, oh, Moses could never write. Does it say here that Moses could write? If he wrote these books, he must have been able to write. So what language did he write in?
Hebrew
language, that's right. So what did he say in Deuteronomy 18, is it not? 18? What did he talk about?
Prophet
shall he raise up. Like unto me. Who's the me referred to? Like unto me. Who's the me?
Like unto Jesus.
Would be who?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, he raised up a prophet. Unto you. Your brethren, like unto me.
Is Moses talking?
Yeah, Moses would be talking. Be like unto Moses. See? Was Moses a prophet?
Yeah. raise up unto you.
Yeah, Moses was a prophet. Mm-hmm. He'll raise up like unto me.
Oh, okay.
Raise up unto you. The Lord shall trouble. So, and him shall he hear. Chapter 3:22. Him shall he hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Did Israel hear all things the Lord Jesus said unto them? No, their ears would stop, really. Now, some did hear. Some of the Jews repented, came to Christ, genuinely were saved. But not all of them. But that's what God wanted them to do, to hear. Any other comments on those verses? They heard, but they didn't hear. That's right. They didn't follow. They didn't believe what they heard. And so let's read then verse.
So how did you say it once?
Pardon me?
Who did you say it once? No, prophet.
Prophet, up like unto me, you mean? You mean the prophet who raised up like unto me?
Prophet.
Pardon me?
Who was the prophet? Jesus.
Oh, that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay,
prophet,
that's what
it?
I said.
Oh, yes, okay.
I guess that was the question.
Oh, yeah. I see. He raised up prophet like unto me, and who's the me? That would be
okay,
the Lord.
I was answering who
yeah.
the prophet was.
Yeah, the prophet's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, Tanya. Any other comments on those verses? All right, then, let's read verse 23, 24, 25, go on to 26 as well. Start with 23. It shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one from their iniquities. All right, verse 23. So come to pass. What does that mean? It shall happen. Does God's prophecies always happen?
Yes.
Do they happen immediately necessarily? Sometimes it takes a long while. Prophecy of the Lord Jesus coming from Deuteronomy 18, 1600 B.C. or so, until he actually came, a long time, but he finally fulfilled that promise. Every soul which shall hear that prophet, who's the prophet again? Moses?
Jesus?
The Lord Jesus Christ, the special prophet that shall come, the prophet of the future. but every soul which shall not hear the prophet, what will happen to them? Destroyed from among the people. Well, that's going to be a future thing too, but...
This is referring to the Lord.
Possibly the millennium, but also maybe his first coming, see? And now, if they don't hear the Lord Jesus Christ, what will happen to them? They'll go to hell, the lake of fire, for all eternity. And so they'll be destroyed, as it says here, that destruction. Now, in the sense of destroyed, not completely wiped out, but they'll be living eternally in the fires of hell, and very great pain, it says indeed. A man called me today, he said he was talking to a Jehovah's Witness. And he said, the man doesn't believe this and this and this. I said, sir, I think the best thing for you to do is forget it. He's trained and taught by these people. He's not going to change. He's been talking to them for a long time. And the question is, they deny the eternal fires of hell. He's talking about the second death. He went, what is the second death? Well, that is hell itself. And as I told him, the death is three different types. And all had to do with separation. What's the first type of death?
No,
that's physical death, don't it?
Oh,
what's spiritual death? What is spiritual death? Separation of spirit and soul from God. First is spiritual death. People are spiritually dead when they're born. Right? What's the second death? What is that separation? Spirit and soul from the body. What's the third death in Scripture? Second death. Was that spirit, soul, and body? That's right. So I told him. Spiritual death, separation, the spirit and soul from the Lord can't communicate. A second, physical death, separation of spirit, soul from the body. And then eternal death, or second death, separates the spirit, soul, and body from the Lord. So those are he was asking about that, so we talked a little about that, but it's important that we see these things. Then it says in verse 23, destroyed among the people, there will be eternal second death in hell indeed. Then in verse 24, who are the prophets that are named here?
Samuel.
From Samuel. From Samuel.
All the prophets.
Those that followed. Who are some of the prophets that followed Samuel? Either writing prophets, Isaiah.
Jeremiah.
Oh, possibly David certainly had the Psalms. He was a prophet.
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. What was it?
Zechariah.
That's right.
Jonah.
Micah. And also, those that didn't write necessarily, but they were prophets that spoke. Elijah. And Elisha. All these prophets. Apparently, they all spoke the coming. They spoke of the prophets. From Samuel to those who follow, as many as are spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Days of blessing. And now, what do the Jews today look for? You know, my mom said they look for what? A sign. That's right. And the Greeks? Follow wisdom. My mom sent this lady me over to the Holy Land in the 1980s. And one of the things that I mentioned as I was writing the book of Hebrews today, I told about how we saw the Jews at that wailing wall. There was a fence up the middle, men on one side, men on the other, with these little pieces of paper in the holes, prayer requests, their heads were bowing, 5 meters from. Who were they looking for? These are Orthodox Jews.
Messiah.
The Messiah. But are they looking for the right Messiah or the wrong Messiah? See, this is sad thing. He's come already. They come and they crucified the Lord of glory, didn't they? And so it foretold all these days of the coming. And then in verse 25, what does it mean ye are the children of the prophets? What does that mean?
Descendants.
Descendants, all right. And so if you're a child of the prophet, you should believe what the prophet told you. If that's your father, if you're a descendant, you should believe him. But and also of the covenant. What covenant does that refer to? Abrahamic and the Mosaic. Mosaic covenant, these are covenants. And what is a covenant, by the way? Promise,
contract,
agreement, a testament. All these things are covenants. And the covenant which God made with our fathers. There's three or four different covenants, are there not? Now, the Presbyterians that believe in the covenant theology, they have unbiblical covenants. They have three covenants. Remember what they are then? Covenant of grace, covenant of works, covenant of redemption. So, but biblical covenants, what's the first one that God made a covenant with?
Abraham.
Well, even before Abraham.
Noah.
No, even before Noah, Adam. So you have Adamic covenant, then you have the Noahic covenant, and then you have Abrahamic covenant, Mosaic covenant. Then we have the new covenant, all these different covenants.
The
Davidic covenant. Yeah, got the Davidic covenant. So don't forget that. Mosaic is in there, yes.
So,
yes, Bob?
Can you explain those Presbyterian covenants?
The covenant of grace, covenant of works, and covenant of redemption. Yeah, these covenants, these are strange. Well, I don't know what they'll mean.
Sometimes say, some people say you believe in sovereign grace, and you say yes, and then they mean something different.
They mean by God sovereignly elects a certain group and doesn't elect others, damns them to hell. That's the real super-duper Calvinism. Double election. He elects those to be saved, and he damns the rest of the people to hell. Now, those that are moderate Presbyterians, Calvinists, I should say, they say, well, and Dr. Schaefer, one of these moderate Calvinists, he elects those that are saved. He doesn't damn those that are lost. He just passes over them. Preterites them. He passes over. That's why. But it's still the same thing.
So, what do you mean? He just overlooks them.
He just overlooks them.
But it's the same
thing. Well,
they're going to go to hell anyway. They're just trying to be not so strong. So, but the real super duper Calvinist, he sends them to hell. That's strange. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We believe in John 3:16, don't we? God so loved the world, let's say, that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The invitation is for whosoever will. Whosoever is willing to believe and trust genuinely has everlasting life. So the covenant in verse 25. Yes, I want to try that. The covenant. And whosoever won't will certainly be judged, as it says in verse 23, he shall be destroyed. He will go to hell, those that are not wanting to trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. Unfortunate. So then your children, the prophets, covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, so this is what covenant specifically is talking about. Abrahamic covenant. Now, covenants are made two different ways. What are the two different ways or types of covenants?
Conditional and unconditional.
That's one. What else, Matt? Okay.
One side and two.
What do we call those one side and two sides?
When God
the types of covenants.
Covenant.
Now, what was the
covenant?
Well, what was the method they made covenants of? What was the method the Jews had of making a covenant or agreement between two parties?
Split
animal. They take an animal, they divide it, then what happened? Both parties walk between the slain animals. Now, in the case of the Abrahamic covenant, how many people walk between
God.
Just God himself? So that's a unilateral covenant. Abraham was sleeping, wasn't he? That's right.
Even nothing to do with God, it's just when two people made a covenant.
Yes.
They took an animal.
That's right. That's why they made the walk between them. That's how they made their agreement.
They actually walked between
them. Oh, yeah, between these dead animals. That's right. Walked between
them. They divided an animal
into two. That's right. That's where they made their covenant. Pardon me?
Several animals.
Yeah, several animals. Well, one animal, yeah, could be here, one right there.
That's one animal, but like several animals are divided, isn't there? More than one.
Well,
it was for Abraham.
I'm not sure, but it seems to me, Dan, that the way they did it, they took one animal, they divided it into half on this side, half on that side, and walked between them. That's what I thought, but could be different. That. I'm not going to be dogmatic on that. They could have had animals slain here, animals slain.
I'm not talking about, the division is correct. I'm not just from the dividing part. I'm just wondering if it was more than one animal that was divided.
It seems like it was just one, but remember when God caused Abraham to go to sleep and made the covenant. Was it in chapter 11, chapter 12?
Chapter 15.
15, was it? Of Abrahamic covenant. So maybe we should read that and see exactly.
Do
you find it there,
Tanya?
Genesis 15? What verse would it be?
Verse 9, start at verse 9.
Okay.
And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years
old. Oh, there are two animals there.
And a ram of
three animals.
3 years, and a turtle dove,
and a four
and
animals,
a pigeon.
And five animals.
And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided him not. And when the fowls came down from the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and the horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in good old age. And in the fourth generation they shall come thither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
Good.
And it goes, it just talks about the
different
people.
Pastor Daniel was absolutely correct. In this instance, at least, there are more than five different kinds of animals. In a normal course of things, there may be just one divided. But anyway, in this case, for Abrahamic covenant, there were five different animals, weren't they? Mentioned. And everyone except...
And there were birds, too.
Yeah, the birds, weren't they? Weren't they added? But the birds
they
didn't divide.
They didn't divide,
yeah.
So...
But the birds were number five, weren't they? Is that counted, right?
Yeah,
was that five?
The birds were five.
I think the birds were five.
And a heifer, she goat, and a ram, and a turtle.
Got the heifer.
And young pigeons.
Is that six?
Yeah,
five. Count them up there, and what you got? I may have been wrong with my five.
But it says the birds divided me.
Right,
so
it didn't
divide. Birds, squirrel.
Oh, yeah,
it says a young pigeon. What? Oh, the turtle dove. Oh, there's a turtle dove.
Yeah, I was trying to say the different species.
Okay, yeah, so there's five.
Five different species. So, okay.
Five different animals.
Animal, okay. Five. So, this was a unilateral covenant and an unconditional covenant, wasn't it, with Abraham? It's not going to be abrogated. What about the dual type of the conditional covenant? What are the conditional covenants in the sentence?
Bilateral.
What is it?
Bilateral.
Bilateral. And what conditions?
Mosaic.
Mosaic. It's supposed to obey the Lord and he'll do this. And also the Palestinian covenant. Remember that? If you do this, I'll save you into this land. If you don't, I'm going to drive you off. Palestinian covenant was a conditional covenant. All right. So these are some of the things. The covenant made with your fathers, as I've spoken unto you, saying, in thy seed shall all the kings of the earth be blessed. What does that mean?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
What tells us that this refers to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Singular.
What is it?
Singular.
So that's true. And what tells us that refers to the Lord Jesus? What book of the New Testament?
Galatians.
That's right. And spoke of this, I think it's chapter 2, thy seed, not seeds as of many, but thy seed which was Christ. Very interesting. Abraham lived 1,000 years B.C. or so, and yet speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come many, many years afterwards. And that seed. Now, in what sense will that come true? In thy seed, through all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. What does that mean? Will that come to pass? And if so, how?
Well,
during the name, that's true.
All
that's right. Now, does all the nations exclude the Gentiles? Does it only mean the Jews? All the families of the earth. Are there more than one type of family? Okay. Now, if there's going to be a blessing, who's going to be the source of that blessing according to this book? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not that everybody accepts him, but those that do accept him, they will be blessed, and in Christ, blessings will come. Is that physical blessings or spiritual blessings? Spiritual blessings. But sometimes the Lord does bless us materially also. But in I see all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, was Paul persecuted? Was he still blessed? Yes. In fact, he said he bemoaned in 1 Corinthians 15. But he said, if in this life only we have what? Hope in Christ? We're all men most miserable. Why did he say that?
Because life is so difficult.
Was it difficult for him?
Yes.
More difficult for him than for us?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, it seems like.
I don't know.
Well, do you think it was
shipwrecked twice?
Wasn't he more difficult than him? All right, let's see what that is. Hello, Jacob from Texas. How are you?
Oh, good. That's the way. Abraham believed and it was accounted for righteousness. So that is through faith.
Right. Amen. Good, thank you. Let's wait to Jacob from Texas. Jacob and his mother, Dale. Okay. Yeah, Dan's got something.
Dr. Wade, greetings to you and your family and everyone watching on the internet. Thank you for Bible study tonight. I'm looking forward to meeting you all at the Bean Burger Study meeting in 2 weeks. Take care and God bless. Robert Robinson.
Robert Robinson. Wave to Robert.
Oh,
where's he from again, Dan?
New Mexico.
Oh, Robin Robinson. Going to be there. Hope you bring your boy, too. Absolutely.
Oh,
good. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate that. Haven't heard from Robert for a while. Was glad he's there. Amen. So, all the families of the earth be blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read the verse 26 we already read. Unto you first. Who's the you referred to there?
Israel.
You, the Jews. God having raised up his son. What does that mean? Bodily resurrection of his son, sent him for what purpose?
To bless us.
To bless you. And he wants to bless you. How does he want to bless these Jews? in verse 26.
Turn away
everyone to be from his iniquity. Is that something that God wants all saved people to do?
Yes.
What does it mean to turn away from our iniquity?
Turn from sin.
Turn from sin. That's right. As God told to Job, man, the righteous man, who escheweth evil. Escheweth means what?
Turns aside.
Turns aside from it, separates from absolutely. And that's what God wants. But then? He wasn't chewing gum, no. Okay. Any other comments or questions on chapter 3 before we move on to chapter 4?
Oh, I don't
know. Okay, chapter 4 is right in there. Anna's got it right there. No, no, it's only 3 minutes to 8. We're not even close.
No, it's to 8.
Oh, sorry, tonight, I'm sure. Tonight.
You started early.
8:57. Okay. All right, let's read chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Okay, that's good. Then verse number 1. As they spake to the people. Who's the they?
Peter
and the others that are there spake to the people. Who came upon them at that time? Who came up to these apostles? The priests? Who came unto these apostles?
They spake unto the people.
The priests? Who else?
The
captain of the temple. Who else?
Sadducees.
What do we know about these Sadducees?
Sadducees.
That's right. But what were their beliefs as opposed to Pharisees?
They didn't believe in the resurrection.
They were sad because they didn't believe in the bodily resurrection. See, what did the Pharisees believe?
What
did the Pharisees believe?
The Pharisees, the law.
But did they believe in the resurrection?
Yes.
They did. Yeah,
huh? When you talk about the resurrection, you don't mean of Jesus. You mean of
bodily resurrection of people.
Mean,
yeah, the people. Yes. All right. So these are the people that came about. Oh, it's lovely.
Lovely, it's beautiful.
Beautiful, but Laura had his regard.
Hold on one side. It's a PA system.
Now, verse number 4. What was the attitude of these priests and captain of the temple and such? What was their attitude in verse 2?
They were
grieved. That was their, what does it mean to be grieved?
Just
hurt, troubled. They were sad. Why were they grieved?
Truth
was being preached. The faith, who's the they referred to? Peter and the apostles. Taught the people. Who were the people?
Jews
who were there, right there. And what else did they do?
And preached through Jesus the resurrection. Why did he preach through Jesus?
Because the Lord Jesus rose, we also will rise.
So that's in English for their sadness.
No, their sadness. See, that's right. They did not believe in the resurrection of anybody, Lord Jesus or anybody else.
They knew Jesus. They must have seen Jesus. He was seen alive.
Well, they didn't believe in resurrection. At one point, Paul used the difference between Pharisees and Sadducees. Mm-hmm. For what purpose did he use it? How did he use it?
To misdirect the conflict away from himself to each
All
other,
right.
to protect himself, basically.
Because the Pharisees and Sadducees were met together, and Peter and Paul rather talked about the bodily resurrection of Christ, and so they were divided, so they got away from Paul and fighting among themselves. So they were grieved to preach the resurrection for them, through Jesus. Is there any other way that you can get bodily resurrection in bliss except through the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in Him? Now what about the lost? Will they have a resurrection? Yes. Will it be the same as the saved resurrected people? No. What will our type of resurrection be, those born again and saved?
First resurrection.
What will we look like in our new body?
Beautiful.
And what else? What's other distinction of the same scripture?
We'll be alive.
Alive, but what?
Incorruptible body.
What else?
We
shall see him as he is.
We shall be like him.
We like him, for we shall see him as he is. So, but the unsaved resurrection, what will they be like and what type of bodies will they have? And why will they have these bodies? I told this man who called here about the second death today, I said there'll be bodies, like sort of like asbestos bodies, that will withstand the heat and still feel the pain. Terrible. There'll be bodies. They won't be like our resurrected bodies, glorified bodies, but they'll have some bodies as well. I preach through these, the resurrection. And then in verse 3, what was the reaction of the captain? What is it? Well, they may be awful looking, but there'll be some type of an encasement of the spirit and soul of the unsaved people. So in verse number 3, what happened then from the priests, captains, and Sadducees? What did they do?
They lay hands on them.
What does that mean, to lay hands on them?
They're going to take them to jail or something.
Okay, they grabbed them. They restrained them, didn't they?
They put them in the hole.
No, I didn't. It said they put them in the hole. What is the hole?
Prison.
Jail. Prison. Or is it jail?
Temporary jail.
How long did they stay there?
Overnight.
Overnight, till the next day. For now, even, yeah, huh?
You know, they have these pits. That's where they put Jesus down in a pit.
That's what they said. They told us in the lectures when they were over there at Towson, whether true or false, I don't know. They said that was the type of, they put them in a big hole so they can't get out, right. Throw them out. Whether that's true or not, who knows?
True.
It could be. Could be. They restrained them. It's not eventide. What does eventide mean?
Sunset
probably, and they're ready to go. So they kept them overnight. All right, we'll stop right here so that we can take up, Lord willing, next Thursday. Yeah,
the reason because it was the next day, it was almost a time that they didn't want it. They put them there waiting for the next day.
So they could handle the next day and see what they want to do with it. Perfect. All right, any other comments or questions on that? Dan, you got something?
He's just trying to get the verses, so it goes through what we went over.
Yeah, the verses start with
320
we took, up to 320 to 4:3. Any other comments or questions before we close? Okay, let's close.
Nice.
We thank you, Father, for that word. We thank you for the refreshing that Peter dared to preach Christ and the resurrection and second coming to these people. And we're sorry that these chief priests and Sadducees and rulers were against them and are grieved because they preached through Christ the resurrection. The Lord, help us to stand firm for thee no matter what comes to us. May we be faithful preaching thy word regardless of the reaction of people. They're grieved at what we say. They're grieved because we believe in the Lord Jesus and we talk about the resurrection and everlasting life. Help us to be faithful to thee no matter how many are grieved by what we say and what we preach. Keep us faithful, bless us in the Lord's day to come. As we faithful to the Lord Jesus, help us this night and tomorrow and the rest of the week. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, thank you for coming.